Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, thankfully, it doesn't happen very often, but occasionally a passenger on a plane will die. And there was a recent case of an Australian couple on a long-haul flight who had to sit beside a corpse. Ali Murphy used to be a flight attendant, now hosts the Red Eye podcast. Ali, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Are you trained for this kind of eventuality?
Well, yeah, unfortunately we are. We're trained in mainly the safety and aviation medicine procedures. But part of that is if somebody passes away on the aircraft. I mean, hopefully we get to them before that stage and try and give them a chance at life. But sometimes things happen in the night when people are asleep.
Yeah. And so if somebody is suddenly in medical distress on a plane, what's the procedure there? Because in the first instance, do you try to move them? Do you leave them where they are, or you know, how can you kind of help them without attracting the attention of everybody else in the plane?
Well, it honestly depends on the situation. So I did have a passenger that passed away on my flight, and on that chance, he was in his seat and we were alerted to his being unwell by the passenger sat next to him. It was impossible to treat him in his seat because he was sat in economy and he clearly needed, he didn't have a normal pulse breathing rate, so he needed CPR basically. So we couldn't do that in his seat. So we picked him up and took him into the back galley and started CPR on him. So in that case, yeah, we try and treat in seat if we can, because it's best not to move people, especially if they're faint or anything like that. It's the first thing that people want to do when they're faint is move. But for serious situations, we need to get to help them as soon as possible. So in that case, we started CPR, and then the pilots will be trying to get the plane landed somewhere so that they can get to hospital as soon as possible.
And would it be, and would you ask, is there a doctor on board or somebody medically trained on board?
Yes, yeah, we'll always PA for a medically qualified volunteer so that we can try and get that help. I mean, the crew are trained in medical situations like that, so we would give the CPR. We have defibrillators on board and we are trained to operate those defibrillators, but we would need a medically qualified volunteer to perhaps maybe attach a drip, give adrenaline. We have a stash of incredible life-saving drugs on board the aircraft, but we do need somebody who's medically trained to administer that.
And the other passengers, how do they react to this, generally speaking?
Well, most people are very respectful and just let us do our jobs. But sometimes you'll find cases where people will try and want to help, but maybe get in the way, or they'll go the other way. And, you know, you're in the middle of dealing with a child having convulsions and they're tapping you on the shoulder and asking you for a Diet Coke or something, which has happened. You know, the only thing I can think of is sometimes, you know, when you're in a really strange situation, you're trapped in a tin can, somebody's having a very big event in front of you, and you go into some kind of weird shock and try and find some normality, maybe. I don't know. People do react differently in stressful situations.
Do they ever take out their phones and start
taking pictures? Well, this is definitely something that's happening more and more nowadays. And honestly, I would just beg people to have some respect, especially if someone's having a medical situation. You wouldn't want that filmed. You wouldn't want that on the internet, the worst moment of your life being put on the internet. But I think it seems to be people's reaction now. It's almost like they've become their own reality TV show crew and just want to get it out in there. They want to share with everybody their experiences. But sometimes that's just not appropriate. So please just have some respect for the passenger, the family and the crew who are trying to deal with it all.
If somebody does die on board and it's clear they have died, what is there a procedure about what you do with the corpse or where you put the corpse?
Again, the procedures, it all depend on the day. If there are no seats available, you know, it's a very full flight, then you would probably try and keep them in their seat. There's been cases where people have tried to put corpses in the toilet, for example, but then rigor mortis sets in and it's really hard to get those people out. And it's not, it's just not respectful either to that person, I don't think. In an ideal world, there'd be a row of four seats that we could lay the person down on, cover their face, secure them, because they also still need to be secured for landing, because the main priority at that point is the safety of the other passengers. So they need to be secure for landing, but you've got to be respectful of the family that they're travelling with and the other passengers around them.
Yeah. As you said, Ali, you have been through this experience. The airlines provide counselling or psychological support for the crew who've been through this.
Yeah. And because, it's traumatising. As cabin crew, you know, we're the life and soul, hopefully. You know, we're the ones that are trying to give you a great flight and a great experience. And we've chatted to you and built up a rapport with you. So then to switch to medical mode when you've got a connection with that person, it's really tricky. And with my person, you know, I was giving CPR for 40 minutes as we diverted into Lyon. And when my training clicks in when I'm doing the job, but when I got home and I got in the bath and I sat and I cried for 3 hours and I could taste the man's breath on my mouth and it really affected me. But the airline was great. They brought me in, they gave me a debrief. They give you a debrief as soon as you leave the aircraft, but most of the time you just want to get home. And then they brought me in a week later and just went through all of everything I did to assure me that I did everything right. And then they let me fly with a friend for a month afterwards just to keep. It's really hard when you're down route. You're alone in a hotel room. So when you've got a friend there, it really helps. And that was great.
Yeah. One of our listeners wants to know, if the pilot and co-pilot get sick, has one of the cabin crew been trained to fly the plane in an emergency? This is the plot from Airplane. I think I've just described there to you. What happens in that eventuality?
I've actually got an episode about that on my podcast because a friend of mine had this happen, and this was in the 90s, so things were a little different then. And we don't have an extra trained cabin crew member to fly the plane. We do have two or three pilots, and it's really tragic if they all go down. And honestly, I'm not sure what you'd do in that situation. PA for a pilot, maybe. But my friend had this, and there was three pilots, and the first two got food poisoning, and then the captain started feeling sick, and he was told to go into the flight deck. Now, this is a 24-year-old lad that had never flown a plane in his life. There was a lady, a female crew member down the back, who did have a private pilot's license, but the captain wanted a man to sit next to him, so he got the 24-year-old boy up instead.
Sexism was having when he crashing to their doom.
Absolutely. But actually, what we are trained to do is to assist the other pilot. So hopefully there's one pilot left, and we are trained to assist them with checklists. And you can land the plane with just one pilot. It's just somebody to do the checklists and stuff. We are trained for that. And the pilots aren't supposed to eat the same food on the aircraft, so that to avoid that situation.
All right, Ali, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Ali Murphy there, host of the Red Eye podcast.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.